your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, they've got some white smoke coming from Wildcat Lodge there in Lexington, there in the bluegrass country. It looks like they're going to have to settle for BYU coach Mark Pope. There's a household name for those Kentucky fans. He did play there for a couple of years, did win a national title there with Kentucky. But, man, he is not who they wanted, Jamie. They wanted Dan Hurley. They wanted Billy Donovan. They wanted Scott Drew. They also wanted Jay Williams, the former Villanova coach.
You had it right.
Yeah. Jay Williams is the ESPN guy. Jay Wright. And they have to settle for Mark Pope after Scott Drew turns him down. This is kind of, to me, like Texas A&M, and he was one of their own, but they settled for Mike Elko from Duke. So, I mean, they have picked a guy that has never won an NCAA tournament game as a head coach, but they're kind of running out of people that might have had to go to the high school ranks to pick somebody up at the rate that they were going.
Well, you had mentioned it a couple days ago that he was a former KU guy and that he would be on the list, but you didn't, or excuse me, UK guy, I should say, and that he was on the list, but he wouldn't be high on the list. So I guess it's not a complete shock that they went to him, but definitely nowhere near their first choice. And I think he's a good coach. I do. And I think he'll be able to recruit there with the Kentucky name and all that good stuff. So, that's a good point that you make, that he's not won an NCAA postseason game, but I still think he's a good coach. So yeah. I don't think it's going to be a disaster for them. It'll be interesting, obviously, recruiting to two different kind of places, right? And BYU, sure. and to Kentucky. So it'll be an adjustment, no doubt.
He's used to working with older players. I mean, that BYU roster, I mean, you know, part of it's the self-inflicted stuff that they go through up there of making them go on a mission, and then they come back and
feel like that's 20, maybe not quite the right term to use.
Self-inflicted. Well, I mean, it's like they put a gun to their head and say, "You want to come to school here? You got to go on a mission," so to speak. That seems.
Gosh, man, you are on a roll today.
That may be a bit much. But in all seriousness, though, that's one of the things that Kentucky hasn't had is they haven't had an older roster. I mean, they have had a very young and very talented roster, and that was kind of one of the knocks on John Calipari. It's like, yeah, you got all these NDA guys, you got all these one and done guys, but what have you done the last few years? You've gone one and done yourself in the tournament, or you haven't been to a Sweet 16 in a number of years. So
Kentucky, the way that they have done it with all the one and done guys and with all the very, very much really talented players or whatever, it's been basically an NBA stepping stone. It's like a AAA club for the NBA. Nobody really cares whether they win or not. According to the players, okay, because clearly Kentucky fans care and their administration cares, but I mean, they were just there to get themselves to the next level, and instead of, hey, I'm going to be here for 3 years so we can gel together and we can try to win.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, look, you don't have to be the sexiest guy in the room to win. I mean, and like you said, I mean, he's done a good job at BYU. And, you know, he's went 110 and 52. I mean, you go 110 and 52 at Kentucky, it probably gets you fired. But he's going to have a different caliber of talent at Kentucky and a whole different set of resources at Kentucky. One thing that I read about him last night, He was 2 years into med school at Columbia University and then pivoted because he wanted to be a basketball coach and became Georgia's director of basketball operations in 2009.
Well, you're famous for saying, hey, don't take a job just for the money.
Yeah.
Right? You got to do something that you love doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time, he probably wasn't making more money than he would have been as a doctor. But right. I don't know, maybe he would have as a director of ops at Georgia. But, you know, he followed what he loved and decided to do what he really sure. enjoyed. And obviously, financially, it's worked out well for him, too.
Yeah, it's paid off for him now. Absolutely. Because I mean, they're not gonna pay him what they were gonna pay Dan Hurley. I heard a report this morning that Dan Hurley was offered upwards of $12 million a year.
And he'd have been a monster there.
Maybe, but you know, I mean, man, obviously he's fit right in there at UConn. I mean, you know,
yeah, no doubt. But I mean, I would have thought that he would have been able to recruit to Kentucky mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. with the Kentucky name and all that stuff, and with his own name and what he had done, and he would have, and him not being let me just recruit one yeah. guys that are here for 1 year and be gone. It feels like they would have been awesome with him.
But there was also a comfort level, too, of, you know, would you be comfortable? Like, I think, I don't know what the final blow was for Baylor or for Scott Drew in terms of him saying, no, I don't want to go there. But, you know, it might have been something as stupid as all those crazy Kentucky fans calling that Mexican food place restaurant in Waco where Scott Drew's just trying to have lunch with a booster and people just trying to learn more about him. He probably said to himself, man, do I want that kind of craziness in my life? And he might have just said, no, that might have been a tipping point for him, because obviously they were going to offer him a ton of money to go there. And that's probably he probably would have been a duck out of water at Kentucky. And who knows? I mean, Mark Pope knows what he's getting into because he played there. So,
yeah.
And, right. and his comfort level probably is a lot more than somebody else is going into that situation. At least, okay, I have a modicum of an idea here of how these lunatics operate, and so I got to keep my distance from them. But I also have to understand that my life is not my life anymore. I'm not here in the anonymity of Provo. I'm in the thick of the fire here in Lexington, Kentucky. All right.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
That's crazy. I didn't know that used to be 25.
They have hard enough time marking off 15, let alone 25.
1950.
That is a major punishment for one penalty.
Yes.
1954, 18th U.S. Masters Tournament at Augusta National. Sam Snead wins his third and final Masters by one stroke in an 18-hole playoff with Ben Hogan. And remember, as we have learned on many different shows,
all Sneeds are related.
All Sneeds are related.
Okay. I saw him yesterday over at football practice. I'm not sure he ever did anything in the time that I was there other than just he had his referee uniform on. I guess eventually he probably did something, but in the time that I was there, the 30 minutes that I was allotted, not a whole lot.
1958, 12th NBA championship took place. The St. Louis Hawks beat the Boston Celtics 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
1961, Douglas MacArthur declines the offer to become the baseball commissioner.
Oh.
Because he spent so much time with baseball that he would know how to run it.
I thought he was going to tell us, he was going to say, I shall return.
Well, that wouldn't have been in the sports section of this.
Right.
That would have been in history, and that's not what happened today either.
Okay.
1970, Yankees dedicate plaques to Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio. 1992, Boston Red Sox pitcher Matt Young no-hits the Cleveland Indians, but loses the game 2-1.
Wonder why it took the Yankees so long to honor DiMaggio and not that long to honor Mantle.
Don't have an answer for that.
Would you say DiMaggio was the better Yankee, the better player?
No.
You would say Mantle over DiMaggio?
I would say Mantle,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in 2015, The number 23 Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team scored multiple runs in three separate innings and hit two home runs on their way to a 9-5 victory over Baylor on a Sunday afternoon sweep of the Bears. Tech junior outfielder Zach Davis led the way, going 3-for-5 with two runs, three doubles, and three RBI. He is the first Red Raider this season to hit three doubles in a game. Mm. It is National Licorice Day.
Out completely.
And National licorice. Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
I'm definitely in on the grilled cheese. Definitely out on the licorice.
Yeah. I used to be a fan of the grill. I'm just not a fan of the grilled cheese anymore. I mean, I hardly ever
have it without ham or bacon in it, though. Mm.
Happy birthday, Ed O'Neill, who is 78. Shannon Doherty, 53. David Letterman, 77. And Andy Garcia is 68. And on this day in 1981, mm-hmm. 20 years to the day after the first manned space flight, the Space Shuttle Columbia is launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, becoming the first reusable manned spacecraft to travel into space. Piloted by astronauts Robert L. Crippen and John W. Young, the Columbia undertook a 54-hour space flight with 36 orbits before successfully touching down at California's Edwards Air Force Base on April 14th. And that is this day in sports history.
John Young, one of the very few to go to the moon twice, and he walked on it. All right, that little indicator there means it's time for our lucky winning word of the day, Double T 97.3. And the Home Zone, where they make your house a home every day at 50th and Indiana, have teamed up to give away a total of $10,000 to lucky local listeners. That means people like Nicholas Barrera and Gloria Cifuentes, who have already won money from us. All you have to do is listen to Double T 97.3 at this time, 8:45 and 4:45 for the local winning word. Then log on to DoubleT973.com. Get that local winning word for your chance to win cash every Tuesday and Thursday. Were you going to say something, Jamie? Oh, no.
No, sir.
Okay. The more times you enter, the more chances you have to win. This is not a national contest. It's a local one. So the money is given away to local folks that tromp around in this town just like you. It's a cash giveaway with 21 winners from the Home Zone, making your house a home in Double T 97.3. Your lucky winning word, Jamie, is Roadrunners. Roadrunners. Like tomorrow morning, if you watch old time cartoons, you could watch Roadrunner. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was very good. Yeah, Roadrunners. Roadrunners is your winning word, your lucky winning word. And so go to DoubleT973.com for that and enter that in. And you could perhaps win $250 like Gloria did and like Nick did. Morning Drive listener Nick. Okay. Hey, if you have a chance, and I think Clint Scott and our man Josh Foppel did an outstanding job with this. If you are a fan of funny videos, I think they did a great job. Go to DoubleT973.com. And kind of take a look at what they did for the Masters Golf Tournament. A host was asked, stake your life on it, to hit a putt for you. And I'm proud to say that the morning drive, we held ourselves up. Jamie, you and I both hit our putts. So the people that chose us got to survive, and others did not.
Surely nobody chose us.
Yeah, David Collier chose you, and Jeff Haxton chose me because he said I was seasoned. So
that's a good thing.
I chose Sneed because he let me down. He missed it, so I died a horrible death, and so that's. And you chose Gus. A couple of guys chose Gus because he's the most athletic of. Probably the most athletic of everybody. Certainly the most with the most athletic accomplishments because he played Division I college baseball. And he did not hit his putt. I thought it was funny how you said you weren't going to choose Choice because he'd hit it too hard. Haxton because he'd throw his club. And me because I'd talk the ball into the cup.
He would attempt to at least.
I would attempt to at least, yeah.
Yeah.
Attempt to at least. At any rate, well, 6:53 this morning here on the morning drive. So if you have a chance to go look at that, it was, I think, very well done. Masters is going to finish up round one this morning, and then they'll head to round two. Our guy, Ludwig, is playing in the Masters. Man, I hope he... this is his very first one, so hard to say how it's going to go for him. Obviously, he's done very well in the tour. Now in this his first Masters major, it'll be interesting to see how he holds up. But we'll see if he can make the cut and then go from there. I would bet that he'll make the cut. I just don't know if he'll. Can he finish in the top 10? Can he finish in the top 5? Can he? He just finished. That'll be really cool to see.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We will have Friendship High School Baseball on the air for you this afternoon on sunny 97.7. It was sunny yesterday. I hope it's sunny again today. It was a very nice day yesterday. We'll have it at 6 for you on sunny 97.7. Then Lubbock Cooper Baseball, they take on Monterey tonight. That'll be at 7 o'clock. We'll have that on 100.7 The Score. And then we'll jump into the Astros and the Rangers with the Astros broadcast. That'll be about 8:30 or so. And then the Rangers, barring no extra bonus panels or anything like that, we'll have that for you to its conclusion after Red Raider baseball today. I heard the Astros broadcasters lamenting about their team a little bit yesterday, Jamie, and they were talking about the Astros' lack of hitting with runners in scoring position. Seems to be a theme.
That's usually when teams aren't scoring a lot of runs, that's usually one of the problems.
Dan in Dallas says, good morning. He said, here's some sports hate for you. I love calling that Houston team the Lastros. Yeah, they're not doing very good right now.
You haven't been able to call them that much recently, though.
No. All right, so what's your take on Ryan Free tonight? What do the Red Raiders need to see out of him? He'll be the starting pitcher.
Ryan, obviously had an interesting last Friday against Houston with, it became clear that the Cougars had figured out he was tipping his pitches and all the drama that went into that. And, his first start, I thought, against UCF was really good. I was really impressed and thought he deserved better than the line that he had, which was four innings and two runs. I didn't think either one of those runs should have scored, but for some shabby defense by the Red Raiders. Last time out against Houston, again, they knew it was coming and it was obvious, and they teed off on him pretty good. So hopefully he's got that corrected where it's not obvious which he's throwing a breaking ball or a fastball. And hopefully we see him get back to, putting forth a quality outing like he did in that first one against UCF. And this will be his third start. So you would expect him to be able to go a little bit longer than he has been going through the first two games. He threw 76 and 67 pitches. So hopefully that pitch count will rise and we'll see him have some success.
Were you guys able to see that he was tipping pitches, or was that more obvious from the Houston dugout from their point of view?
Well, we just figured out when Coach Tadlock was complaining, and then Jeff was told by somebody that that's what he was complaining about. And then we kind of heard the story after the fact.
But it's not illegal, right? For those guys, if your pitcher's tipping pitches, it's not illegal to let everybody know, hey, it looks like a breaking ball's coming. Oh, a breaking ball's coming or a fastball's coming. Or is it just poor sportsmanship?
I have the same questions, Chuck. I think I've not spoken with Coach Tadlock about it. My guess is that apparently it was the first base coach who pitched to pitch or whatever was letting the hitters know. And so kind of the thought is if you figure something like that out and maybe part of it was ahead of time as far as, you know, watching him on film and being able to figure it out. Had something to do with the way he was reaching into his glove and gripping the ball before a breaking ball compared to the way in it, where his arm angle was and the way it compared to when he was throwing a fastball. And so I think that if you figure it out ahead of time or you figure it out over the course of the game, the players, you know, you let them know and then you let them, you know, react to it when they're out up there at the plate. And I think the frustration was maybe he was pitch to pitch during the game, basically making hand gestures or something that let the Red Raiders became pretty clear that he was doing something. So he must have been pretty, for lack of a better term, sloppy with how he was letting the hitters know, because Tech, it became obvious to Tech that he was doing it. I think Coach Tadlock's frustration at one point, I think he was out of the dugout down the first baseline a little bit and near the camera well, kind of watching him do his thing and picking up on it. And I think the umpires told Coach Tadlock he had to get back in the dugout. And yeah. So that's where some of the frustration came from.
I guess from my standpoint, I look at that as, well, that's just good scouting. I mean, that's a coach that has watched a ton of film and has picked something up, and that's on you to fix it. The pitcher.
That's how I look at it. I don't think anybody disagrees with you.
Okay.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you. Yeah. No, and as I said at the time, I feel like it did Tech a favor. So Ryan mm-hmm. could get it adjusted and mm-hmm. he could have more success the rest of the way. And it may have been something that other teams had figured out too, because the last few outings before Ryan had, you know, moved to the starting rotation, he was getting hit pretty hard too. And so it feels like that was something that teams had figured out. And, you know, it's now an opportunity for him to correct it and be better the rest of the way.
I guess that just speaks to the athleticism of the batters and their ability. I mean, I realize these guys at this level have seen literally thousands of pitches in their lives. But still, it is somewhat fascinating to me that somebody could say, hey, breaking ball's coming, or hey, fastball's coming, and it affects their ability to hit the good hitters, I guess, have the ability to just turn on that ball or wait on it just a skosh, because I mean we're talking about tenths of seconds here that they have maybe the chance to see the ball or see it spin a different way. And I mean, even if you were to tell me, hey, this is coming, I mean, man, I'm not talking about me personally, but just, you know, batters in and of itself, I think is still a skill to be able to say, hey, I'm going to throw you a breaking ball. Let's see what you do with it. And then being able to do with it. I'm somewhat amazed by their ability to do that, even when they know what the pitch is.
Yeah, and then some of it is just, okay, well, if you know a breaking ball's coming and you see it coming and it's, you know, at the bottom of the strike zone, you know to leave it alone. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a ball, right? You're never going to chase. Mm-hmm. And when you never chase and you're only swinging it, okay, or all of a sudden you see it coming at your knees and you know it's a fastball, you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to move on, right? So if you never have to chase a pitch, and then you can wait on the fastball and you know the fastball's coming, you time it up, you're not worried about it moving on you. So yes, hitting is really difficult, no question. Whether you know or you don't know, okay, what's coming, it's difficult. But knowing what's coming is even more. And again, I think the frustration, I mean, from what I had heard, was the frustration, what it was in, you know, let the kids, once you give them the information, let them come to the plate and let the athletes, you know, make that adjustment and do what they do, then it is fair game. I think the frustration was about pitch to pitch, that their first base coach was basically relaying the information.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And I guess that's somewhat not, that's somewhat frowned upon.
Okay. And I guess to me, the comparison for basketball is, can't tell you how many times they know some of these coaches know what the call is of what, like a team will come down and they'll yell hawk or whatever, and they know that that means something, but they're screaming that from the bench, hey, this mm-hmm. is what they've called here, and I'm trying to understand. And It's different, but it's somewhat the same. But
yeah, somewhat the same, but like you said, it different scenario.
Different scenario.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen. I think this is a, a little bit out there question for you.
Well, I think we're just the guys to do it.
Okay. All right. We are a little out there. So yesterday, Scott Drew turns down the opportunity to leave Baylor and go to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as Red Raider fans, we had mixed emotions about that because the possibility of Scott Drew leaving hurts Baylor. But we also know that there was a possibility that they would come calling to your coach next. Okay. So that was kind of a mixed bag of emotions there. But I want to ask you this question. If you could boot one coach from Big 12 conference and in any sport, okay, that you would feel like, hey, I would be happy if he left because his program would take a big step backwards. You feel like that guy is a major reason why they have had so much success. Who would that coach be?
Man, that's a really good question, because if you look at Baylor and the situation, Baylor has clearly taken a big step back in women's basketball with Mulkey going to LSU. So there's one example. Could you make a case the team that you're getting ready to play, TCU, has taken a step back with Jim Schlossnagel leaving TCU?
This year has definitely been down, but Sarlouz took them to the College World Series last year. They were a really good team last year. I would not say that at all.
It's hard to make that case.
Yeah.
From a basketball standpoint, on the men's side.
But really, Chuck, I guess I should have also said, you don't have to make your choice based on just how you think it would affect the program.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make your choice based on I can't stand the dude I want him to get I want him to get canned, also answer that way, because I feel like that's more fun.
Okay. The problem with answering that way, though, Jamie, is most of those people won't be in the Big 12 next year.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking almost of everybody at Texas. They're all gone next year. So them being it in an SEC school is now going to be out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one.
And can add the new four in there in the Big 12 if you wanted.
Okay, I have mine.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say Mike Gundy. For all his warts, he has had a tremendous amount of success at Oklahoma State with, you know, Big 12 championships and you know, double-digit wins and big wins and, you know, being the number two school in the state, you know, to Oklahoma, in a lot of different things. Yeah, somebody on the chat line, maybe beat me to it. But I think for me, I think if Mike Gundy left Oklahoma State, that they potentially would take a step back, because I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get the name coach that they think they are to replace him.
Okay.
I think Gundy's a great answer for this. He's probably my second choice. I'm going to go with Chris Klieman at Kansas State football. And I know that I hold more disdain for Kansas State than a lot of people do when it comes to football. It's just the amount of success that they've had against you for, like, ever, that I'm anything to upset that apple cart. And I don't care what it would be. Maybe they have to learn a new song for the band. I don't know what it would take. I'm up for trying anything to make Kansas State not just always beat the Red Raiders. Good teams, bad teams, whatever it takes, they've just owned you on the football field. Home, away, neutral side, you could play on the moon, and they'd still win by 10, it feels like. And I'm going to start there. and take my chances with a new head coach.
Yeah, and I think he's done something that they haven't been able to do previously, is find a successor to Bill Snyder.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, so I think I really like Chuck's answer. I think you're right on Gundy. I think that's one that where like the program would, he's kind of who the program is. And I know it was solid. It was really good for him too. But I just wonder about them right now. So I think that's a really good answer. But that, so I'm going to pick somebody different though. Okay. For the guy that I think the program would drop off without him, I don't hate the guy. I don't hate the program, but I think it's a sleeping giant a little bit. And that's Lance Leipold at Kansas. I enjoyed having a free space on Bingo, as Chuck says, yeah. Playing Kansas. And I think he's done such a tremendous job there, which, again, we talked about this just a couple days ago. Sometimes it's really hard to take a team from scratch to being a competitive team. And he's done that in a short period of time. I think he's a really good coach. I think eventually there's a potential that he could leave for a bigger program, but I think he's done a great job. And so I think that program would really be hard to find another Lance Leipold. Not that I have disdain for Kansas's football program, but that's a guy that I think would be a complete program changer if they lost him. He's done such a great job. I'm going to answer this in a two-part way, and so you guys can do the same thing. The one guy that I want to get rid of just because I can't stand him is Holiday at Oklahoma State baseball. Okay, I would love to see Josh Holiday can, just because. And personally, I don't think he's done a great job. I mean, they have amazing facilities to recruit to. They get tremendous talent every year, and yet they don't very often make a push for Omaha. I think they have big time underperformed, and he's just annoying to me.
That's kind of why I didn't pick him, Jamie, because he's underachieving. I like coaches that underachieve.
See, there, you make a really good point, Jeff. You make a really good point.
Here's the one advantage that Kansas has with Leipold. He's older than you think. He's 59. So for him,
so maybe he wouldn't want to move somewhere else.
Yeah, or I think he's just going to, I mean, yeah. It's a young man's game. I mean,
that makes sense.
So, I mean, if they'd have gotten him a little bit earlier, but they might not have had the success, they kind of get the advantage of him being somewhat seasoned and kind of putting something together. But, you know, at 59, is he going to, and he may. He may, but I mean, it's hard to start over when you get on the other side of 60.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, good morning. It is the Morning Drive here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Jamie's on the road with the Red Raider Baseball. They're in Fort Worth getting ready for TCU tonight, tomorrow, late afternoon, and then Sunday early afternoon. Tomorrow's game is a 3:30 broadcast time and 4:00 first pitch. That seems a little late, Jamie. Seems a little late in the day.
It's actually been moved an hour earlier. It's a 2:30 broadcast time and a 3:00 first pitch.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I assume that had something to do with TV. I'm not sure.
Okay. And then Sunday still 12:30 and 1:00 first pitch?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. So we'll have all those games for you here on Double T 97.3. We'll join the Rangers in progress tonight. They play the Astros. I was listening to the Ranger game yesterday on Double T 97.3. It did make me smile. It didn't take very long for Eric Nadell to say swinging A's. I love that. You know I love that. And he did not disappoint me. The other thing he did repeatedly yesterday, Jamie, and I wonder if this was coincidence or if he was just being a good broadcaster reporter or if he was trying to jinx the other team, is he kept saying that the A's were throwing a no-hitter. And I just wondered, like, if the Rangers were throwing a no-hitter, would he have mentioned it as many times, or was he trying to jinx the A's pitcher yesterday?
I would assume a little bit of both.
Okay.
That's, you know, That's your job to try to change the guy.
What is really? You can affect the game, Jamie.
I definitely take it upon myself to do all I can.
Okay.
I don't know if you were listening last weekend, but the guy that started on Sunday hadn't given up a walk, and Jeff and I were pretty heavy on the fact that he hadn't given up a walk. Mm-hmm. On Friday night, I believe it was Damon Bravo at the plate, and the Red Raiders down, I think they were down 7-3, and I really felt like they needed a lift, and they got a base runner on first with two outs, and it was during Damon Bravo's at bat that I mentioned, hey Jeff, you know, this is a team that hasn't given up a home run in 10 straight games.
Mm.
And guess who homered in that at bat? Damon Bravo.
There you go, man.
And
good
so
job, Coach Lynn.
I patted myself on the chest there and said, well done, as did Jeff Haxton. And I started the rally for us. So, you know, and there's a skill when your team's throwing the no-hitter,
mm-hmm.
where you say, hey, the only base runner that's reached has reached on a walk or a hit by pitch, mm-hmm. or whatever. So you paint the picture and you let people know what's going on, but you don't say the words no-hitter.
Okay. When it's your guy.
Yeah, when it's their guy, you say it over and over.
You say it over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
I happened to be listening when the Rangers got their lone hit, Adolis Garcia, with the hit. And then they promptly took out J.P. Sears. I mean, so I don't know what kind of a pitch count he was on yesterday, but you know, they were letting him go as far as he could with the no-hitter. But then... Man, the A's pitchers that came on in relief, they still had to go 2 2/3. And, I mean, they held up the no-hitter the rest of the way. I mean, so the Rangers got just one hit.
Sounds like they were the throwing A's yesterday, not the swinging A's.
Right. Well, right, because, I mean, they got just the one run on four hits, and the A's got their one run in the second inning, but... Kind of wastes a really good pitching performance by the Rangers, but maybe that's the good news that you take out of that series that game last night or yesterday afternoon. That, well, at least we pitch well.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
At least we pitch well. So they'll play the Astros again this weekend. See what they can do with them. Hey, are you looking for a conversation starter for Coach Tadlock today? Because I got one for you.
I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm looking for one. But sure. Hey, give it to me.
Hit you up with it. So, yeah. I'm sure that have you seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time?
Sure.
Okay. So, Nick, the bartender who plays a role in that when Jimmy Stewart goes back in time to Potterville and sees what happens when he, you know, when he doesn't do. You know, affect things like he did. So Nick, the bartender, is played by a guy by the name of Sheldon Leonard, who would go on to be a very productive producer in television shows like Dick Van Dyke, Gomer Pyle. He was like a Hall of Fame television producer. The only reason that he took that job to be Nick, the bartender, is he was trying to earn some money so that he could buy baseball tickets.
Okay. Hey, for what?
He wanted.
Do we know which game?
I don't know which game, but he was.
Or which team?
I don't know which game or which team, but he was just trying to buy some baseball tickets. Now you could make it up. You could make it up if you wanted to. So he was trying to buy some trying to buy some baseball tickets for whoever Coach Tadlock's favorite team is. Just throw that in there.
No, hey, you're only allowed to make things up on the morning drive.
Okay.
That would be after the morning drive where I try to speak truth. But mm-hmm. apparently from 6 to 9, you can just make things up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we got – that was – I thought that was pretty good.
I mean, if you want another one about It's a Wonderful Life,
mm-hmm.
The cab driver and the cop
yeah.
are Bert and Ernie. Jim Henson loved their friendship so much – that when he was naming the two best
right.
friends for Sesame Street,
right.
they were Bert and Ernie in the spirit of It's a Wonderful Life.
How about that? That's awesome. I can always count on Jeff to have some kind of historical additional tidbit.
I have a, I'm very fond of Bert and Ernie. I have like a, kindergarten, I think, school photo. And I'm wearing a Bert and Ernie sweater.
Oh, wow.
It's got stripes on it, and it's got Bert and Ernie on it. Yeah.
We need to see that. Do you have that? Can you post that to your Facebook account today?
I'll post it to my Facebook. Yes, I will.
He has
I'll
to tweet it out. Make his Facebook account first.
I'm aware. That's why I said that to him, because I knew that he would love to do that. Okay.
Yep. That's what I do. I'll put it on my Instagram, and I'll kind of dance with it in a TikTok video.
Sure. Sure. Yep. All those things. Mm-hmm. All those things.
All of that.
All right.
I'll probably tweet it out and say, blessed and honored to have ever been photoed wearing a Bert and Ernie sweater.
Yeah. Maybe you could make a t-shirt of that photo and sell them with your autograph.
At Clint's t-shirt stand, yes.
At Clint's t-shirt stand.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.